Better quit on your day, because they've taken your rights. Well, we got a new president, and his speech made me weep, because he promised to fix everything. Now I can go back to sleep. Again, they got away with it. 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 Well, fear and greed run this country. Corporations craving more, because greed sells insurance, and fear sells another war. We make war on the Muslims. We make war on the blacks. We kill Hispanics and the Asians, and Israelis got our back. Got away with it. Again, they got away with it. Again, they got away with it. Again, they got away with it. Well, they robbed us of our money, and they gave it to the man.
Well, they robbed us of our technology and gave it to the listeners, as they call Zentech, the radio show that's coming on now from 1 till 2 p.m. here in KVMR, FM Nevada City. 1 through 2 p.m. will be call-in show and news about things technology, not necessarily computers. We prefix the show with two statements, very profound, folks. One of them is that technology, like money, should always be your slave and never be allowed to be your master. And there was something else, but I completely forget what it was. Oh, yeah, the technology basically is anything, including people calling and saying, you know, I'm camping and I need a better way to rub sticks together to make a fire. That's technology, because I don't know any animals that can do that. They use tools. Indeed, so if chimpanzees wish to call us with better ways of using sticks to gain termites from nests, we'd take those calls too. Okay, you're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino, with translators K286AN Truckee at 105.1 FM, K258DG Angels Camp at 99.5 FM, and finally, K230CA Woodland at 93.9 FM. You can call us on the show after we've done some intro stuff and some community news about what's going on around here. Zentech Radio Show. First up, seems appropriate to tell you that we have a bunch of public announcements. Hold on, where's my paper over here? I just hate when that happens. Okay, first up for this show, we would like to thank the following that contribute in some way. Harris Center for the Arts at Folsom Lake College presenting... I beg your pardon, I jumped the wrong announcement. See, what do I do without Glenn here? Let's start that again. We'd like to thank, at least in part, for contributing to this hour of programming, Mama Madrone's Eco Emporium on Broad Street, Nevada City, offering earth-friendly, sustainably made collections of natural fiber clothing for the whole family. Fair Trade Gifts jewelry, also local, and organic bedding and natural body care. On Facebook, it's Mama Madrone's. And finally, Robert W. Baird and Company, the Lee and Dunn Group, John Lee, Janice Dunn, and Margie Detterman, providing comprehensive financial advice and services to individuals, families, businesses, and foundations on Sierra College Drive in Grass Valley, BairdFinancialAdvisor.com/the Lee Dunn Group. We're in good shape with those, so appropriate to tell you lots of things go on with our community calendar today. First up, what have we got? An information forum regarding the proposed Veterans Columbarium for St. Patrick's Cemetery will be held on Sunday, January 13th between 9 a.m. and noon at St. Patrick's Hall. It's in Grass Valley. All military veterans and spouses are invited to attend. A representative for the Diocese of Sacramento will be present to answer questions regarding the project. And breakfast is included for the attendees. I looked up what a columbarium was. It means in Latin a dove house. So a columbarium is a place where the remains of your loved ones can be put, usually in a vertical arrangement in a building. So there you go. Fiber Dimensions, a group of Bay Area artists who exhibit collaboratively, will have their fabrications on display through January 31st at the Pence Gallery, addressed 212 D Street in Davis. They bring a diversity of disciplines to their work, from weaving, felting, quilting, and papermaking to painting, woodworking, printing, and welding. The website is pencegallery.org. The Heavenly Streams Chinese Medicine Center hosts an ongoing lecture series on Chinese medicine for everyday living. It's on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. The center is located at 101 Providence Mine Road, Suite 105B, and that's in Nevada City. The series continues through the end of 2019. Website is heavenlystreams.com/classes. We're going down the screen. You know, the funny thing is, moments take years on the air when you're going up and down the screen. It just jumps. Musicians! Oh, there we are. Musicians of all skill levels are invited to play in a jam session at Player's Pizza in Penn Valley. Jam sessions will be held every Wednesday evening, this evening, from 6 until 10 p.m. The phone number is 530-432-1222. Connecting Point is holding a 7-week workshop on quitting smoking. That's from 3 to 5 p.m. and it begins on January the 9th. It's titled Freedom from Smoking and will be held at Oak Ridge Community Room. The address is 228 Sutton Way in Grass Valley. You can pre-register on the website. Here it is, connectingpoint.org/events. Habitat for Humanity in Nevada County is looking for people who would like to own a home that will be built by local volunteers. Two informational meetings will take place at the Grass Valley United Methodist Church. The address is 236 South Church Street. And the first one's on Wednesday, January the 9th, which is today at 7 p.m. The second one's on Saturday, January the 12th, and that's at 1 p.m. Childcare will be available by request, and you can reserve a seat by calling this number, 530-274-1951. Nevada City School of the Arts is accepting applications for the 2019-2020 school year. Applications will be available at the new parent information meeting, which will be held on January the 10th, tomorrow, from 9 a.m. until 10 a.m., and that's in the Theater Arts Classroom in the campus at 13032 Bitney Springs Road. Once again, that's 13032 Bitney Springs Road, and the meeting is for parents only. To call them, it's 530-273-7736, extension 218. There will be an ongoing cancer support book study on Wednesday afternoons from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at Sierra Mind Body Therapies. Address is 590 Searles Avenue, number 12, in Nevada City. The book to be read is called Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds by Dr. Kelly Turner. All people at least 12 years of age are welcome. The group will meet on Wednesdays through January the 23rd. You can take as few or as many classes as you wish, and the website is counselingthatheals.com. Two wood-turning classes will be given at the Curious Forge in Nevada City, both with instructor Carlos Angulo. A beginning woodworking class starts on Thursday, January the 10th, tomorrow, and an advanced class is on Friday the 11th. Both classes will run from 5 until 9 p.m. The website is thecuriousforge.org. The League of Women Voters is holding a program on implementing new strategies for housing the homeless, and it's on Saturday, January the 12th, from 9:30 till noon. The meeting will be held at Peace Lutheran Church, 838 West Main Street in Grass Valley. Guest presenters include Nancy Baglietto, Director of Hospitality House, and Mike Dent, Nevada County Directory of Housing. On Facebook, Strategies for Housing the Homeless. Pacific Gas and Electricity, PG&E, would like to remind the public that if you see a downed power line or your vehicle gets tangled up in one, you should assume that it is live or hot, so don't touch the wires. And if you're in a vehicle, it's safer to remain inside it. Don't try to exit it. Sound your horn and call 911 for help. More advice about downed power lines is available in the online listing on KVMR's website, kvmr.org. Grateful Dead sing-along will take place every second Wednesday of the month at the Oddfellows Hall. Address is 212 Spring Street here in Nevada City. All singing levels are welcome, and you can bring your instruments. The next sing-along will be again today, Wednesday, January the 9th. Sierra Streams Institute will be giving a California Naturalist course beginning on March 2019. Registration is now open. Students in the program will become volunteer naturalists and citizen scientists by taking the 10-week course, which combines science instruction with guest speakers, field trips, and project-based learning. You may sign up for the class through the website sierrastreamsinstitute.org. A lot of events today. Next up, we have the Nevada County Healing Through Grief Support Group meeting. This takes place on Thursday, tomorrow, January the 10th, and it's from 6 in the evening until 8. Location is the Freed office. Address is 435 Sutton Way in Grass Valley. This meeting will be open to newcomers. Website is lossandgrief.org. Nevada Union Adult Education offers classes in English as a second language, as well as GED and high school diploma completion. There is no cost or residency requirement, but you must be at least 18 years old. These classes are held at this address, 11761 Ridge Road in Grass Valley. The website is adulted.njuhsd.com or call the phone number 530-477-1225. A climate advocacy training workshop will take place Monday, January 21st from 2:30 till 6 p.m. at the Madeline Helling Library in Nevada City. The phone number is 530-478-1812. Connecting Point offers a six-week workshop on living well with chronic conditions, and that starts on Tuesday, January the 15th at 2:30 p.m. at 208 Sutton Way in Grass Valley. If you suffer from a chronic condition such as heart disease, arthritis, or emphysema, you may benefit from this class. You can register online at connectingpoint.org. A roundtable discussion highlighting the best tech developments of 2018 with a look at what's coming in 2019 takes place on Tuesday, January the 5th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Nevada County Tech Hub. The address is 104 New Mohawk Road in Nevada City. The gathering will begin with a virtual reality demo by Alan Moore. Website is nctechconnection.org. The public's invited to a meetup at which automation tools and ways to use them in business will be discussed. The meeting takes place Wednesday, January the 9th, today again, 11:30 to 1 p.m. We missed it. It's at the Nevada County Tech Hub, again, 104 New Mohawk Road in Nevada City. There you go. Now then, the Stone House in Nevada City presents Tavern Yoga, yoga classes taught by Shakti Rose, which begin on January the 16th, the classes will be held on Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m., and you may come down to as many or as few as you feel like. You are encouraged to bring your own mat. The website is stonehouse.io. You know what? I'm not seeing the closing for this calendar, so I will tell you this, that if you want to submit your items for our calendar, the best thing you can do is visit the website kvmr.org and click on the button that says event, and this particular item is called the calendar. I'm just scrolling up and down through there. You know, the wrong button may have gone off. We're fine with that. Glenn, you'll set me to rights. He's not in the studio. He's going to call in a little bit. This is Polly Castro on the air. And we are going to give you the burst of the music that tells you this is the Zen Tech Radio Show, which you can call in with and listen to about all things tech for your great delight, elucidation, and education.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, go ahead, jam, unlock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, pause it, back it, switch it, fade it, name it, rate it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, touch, rename it, touch it, print it, pay it, touch it, technologic. One more time.
Like the legend of the phoenix, yeah. All ends with beginnings. Oh, it keeps the planet spinning. The force from the beginning.
Well, we've certainly come too far to give up who we are in terms of technology. We're still the humans we were in the caves, rubbing the sticks together and going, how can we make our lives easier and complicate them by cramming what little time is left
with more things to do?
Hey, listen, folks, there is a website and there is a Twitter feed. You won't believe the stuff we've got here, but the first thing behoves me to do is see if Master Glenn is there. Are you there, Master Glenn?
I am, Master Polly. How are you today?
Good. I hope you didn't fall asleep doing that. I suspect I may have pushed the wrong button. That should have been the calendar, right?
Yes, but you know what, and this is the technology lesson for folks out there, is on our screens there at the station, if we don't use control and then the scroll on our mouse to kind of make this printing bigger or smaller, particularly on our community calendar, when it's the printing is a little smaller like that, that end the message moves back to the top of the page. So you have to scroll and make the printing a little bit larger, and then that forces that end message that we read down to the bottom of the page.
Here's what comes up, which is interesting. All the way back from way back when Tim Berners-Lee dreamed up this stuff, essentially the formatting, I shouldn't use that word, the way in which a screen appears is determined by markup, not layout. Layout and markup are different. So layout is a concrete concept of how many inches and how many pixels and how many points of text and stuff. But markup indicates a general direction, so that H1 means large, but H2 means not as large as H1. But it doesn't specifically say, really, what kind of size it is. So the price to pay for that is the size of screen we've got. The readable bit at the end, as Glenn has pointed out before, and I forgot, the readable bit at the end only comes up with a larger font, which forces it down towards the bottom. And that's, by the way, Glenn, do you know there's a name for that?
Yeah, I do, but I can't remember.
Oh, we love a good name. It's responsive web design, meaning that if the web is designed that you could be looking at it on a little 4-inch diagonal phone screen, or you could be looking at it on a, what was it now? An 80-inch screen. Glenn and I were at Costco, and I saw the biggest screen I've seen so far. No, I don't want it. It was 80 inches diagonally, right?
Yes.
Which is over 6 feet. I could lie diagonally on that screen and be completely on the screen. I'd break it, but I could. Lo and behold, I get home and read that one of these Japanese or Korean companies now produced a 90-something inch screen. Why bother? Just why not cover your whole wall in screen?
Exactly. You like a movie theater all the time.
Right. So the intention behind markup is it's no good saying, I want this picture to be 2 inches wide, but you can say, I want it to fill half the screen.
Right.
So that theoretically, a well-designed responsive website would show up on a 92 or an 80-inch diagonal screen. Or what's the smallest screen you can get? I think some phones early on used to have about a 3-inch diagonal measurement on them, right? Very early on.
Yes.
Supposed to work. I remember it used to be called WAP, Web Access Protocol, or something like that. So how are you doing there, young Glenn?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for being in studio today. And I'm actually at home, not out and about like I sometimes am when I call in. Just wasn't able to make it into town. So doing really well.
Sensible decision, given that the weather and flying leaves and driving rain and wind.
Well, I haven't seen that.
haven't been there, haven't done that. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, You and I had a bit of a technological experience last night. We went to see Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a good movie, and the graphics and all the technology that was used to make it, you know, with every new movie, you know, everything's newer and newer and newer. And it really was a good and very realistic movie. I remember hearing one thing about it, and I haven't done the research again, but how they made the characters appear to be underwater and talking.
Yes.
And again, that was very realistic, because there were some scenes where the Atlanteans were underwater. They were able to breathe underwater and talk underwater. And then other scenes where they deliberately came out of the water, whether it be undersea or onto land, for various things. And then, you know, we're looking similar, actually the same, still talking and whatnot. So that was one of the things that impressed me.
So basically, with technology, anything's possible. So what we're looking at there is essentially the fact that my definition of a good movie is something that enables you to willingly suspend your belief, is it, or suspend your disbelief that, wait a minute, they're talking underwater and they're not even going, oh, blah, 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 too much there. You know, just for a few seconds, I thought, hey, wait a minute. It's like when we see Star Wars and you see stars zooming by in the background the way they wouldn't in space. Your ability to suspend your disbelief is a sign of a well-made movie. And the other thing I think is amusing is if you ever see movies that purport to be documentaries of the Nazi regime or the Second World War, for some reasons the Germans talk to each other, not in German, but in English with a bad accent. I'm sorry, it just gets me. And then once in a while in the middle of the movie, I'm really into it, and then I go, wait a minute, why are they doing that? Life goes on. We do have technology things. Have you had a look at the homework on the website, Naughty Glenn?
I have not, but I shall go look in right now and see.
There's some very cool stuff out there, young man. I feel so lucky to live in an age where there isn't anything that you can't find out, but unfortunately, all the knowledge in the world gives you none of the wisdom, do you know?
Yes.
Nevertheless, I'll go for the knowledge right now. So as ignorance goes, it's not a bad one. I heard a wonderful saying, can't cite the source of it, and it was, the main problem in this world is not the amount of ignorance, it's the illusion of wisdom. It's important that the statement's about the illusion of wisdom, not the illusion of knowledge, because it's very easy to confuse the two and think if you have enough information, then you must be right.
Yeah.
But it's what you do with the information. It's a bit like statistics and graphical analysis and so on takes scads of raw data about sunspots on the sun or atmospheric ozone or whatever it is, and rebrands it in such a way that it's palatable that you can hopefully become wise and make predictions with it. So that's the difference between just raw data. Remember the company Novell? It used to have a service mark which was, everything's data. Novell used to be this big company that made servers that served up databases for big corporations and stuff. And their moniker was, yeah, everything's data, which is true, I guess. And their business is making it available. What does Google say, making the world's information available one step at a time?
Mm-hmm.
What I was reading about, and I mentioned it before on the air because it's just too interesting to pass by unless you're that sort of person that glazes over. There's a website, and I found it again. It's called Battery University. I love that. It's just like batteries, and everybody thinks of those little cylindrical objects lying around in your... It's always the left-hand kitchen drawer, isn't it, Glenn?
Yes.
It's like, I'm back to movies again. In those bloody action movies where somebody has to disarm a bomb, it's always the bloody red wire that they cut, and it's always within 3 seconds of the thing going off, right? Always the red wire, always within 3 seconds of it going off. Cut a long story short, Battery University is more interesting than I can even begin to tell you, because just like data is all data, everything's data. Everything that we've got and we've had for any length of time since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution pretty much has been powered on electricity that tends to come from these things called batteries. Very old technology, still in most of our automobiles. It's lead-acid batteries. Interesting thing is, quite a few of us, myself included, living in the modern world, actually have vehicles with batteries that may not be used much. So I have an RV because I'm terribly old and awfully retired or semi. And I don't use it for periods of time, especially like now. In which case, the battery tends to leak away its current, partly through the radio, which keeps its stations by draining a teensy tiny current. But the fact is, lead-acid batteries leak current between their plates and will gradually flatten themselves. And these batteries, lead-acid batteries intended for regular cranking service in cars, do not do well if their charge peak drops below about 85 or 90%. The idea is normally you crank the car, the starter goes, the engine runs, the generator or alternator operates and puts the charge back in the battery pretty fast and pronto. If the battery goes below about 80% of charge without having the charge put back, it begins to degenerate and disintegrate and irreversible physical and chemical changes happen. How do we deal with this? Well, I got a while ago from Harbour Freight a little tiny solar panel, about 15-watt solar panel. This is a trickle charger, and you just leave it connected under the hood, leave the panel on the hood, and it trickles a tiny current that's enough to make up for the trickle current of loss from the battery, so it keeps it in tippity-top condition. Important, do not ever connect solar cells straight onto your battery. That's not okay. It has to go through a little regulator box. So if the trickle current that discharges your battery is a ridiculous 5 milliamps at 12 volts, for example, or 3 milliamps, I don't even know. Doesn't matter as long as you can put back more than is leaking out. And the peak natural voltage of a lead-acid battery that is not being charged or discharged is somewhere around 12.7 volts. Here's where it gets interesting. From China, you can buy an LED display that instead of saying confusing decimal voltage is like 12.7 volts corresponds to 100% charge. Instead, it's got a chip on board which does it all for you and tells you this battery needs to be charged because it's below that 85% threshold. It's at peak charge or it's busy charging. When your alternator crams current into that battery, the voltage will rise to about 13.5, sometimes 14 volts, right? Mm-hmm. I know this because, again, from China, you can buy a device you plug into your cigarette lighter thingy. Who has those anymore? But cars up until a few years ago had this 12-volt socket. You can plug this device in, and it shows you the voltage that's on the bus of the car. In other words, what exactly the nominal 12 volts is. And you can see when you crank your car, the voltage drops to 10 or 11 volts, which is fairly normal for a batty old battery. Then the car runs, then the alternator or generator works, then the voltage rises to 14.5 volts. Here's where the fun starts. If something goes wrong with your alternator, hopefully the belt breaks and you know that's wrong because there's zero charge. If something goes wrong with the alternator, it could jam a much higher voltage than about 14.5 volts in there. That will wreck the battery as well. So if you have a wrecked battery and you replace it and it gets wrecked again, take a look at the voltage. Your alternator is probably doing some kind of mischief. They're extremely reliable these days, and it doesn't often happen, but it's the kind of thing that we kind of sort of have to know once in a blue moon. Those of us who drive older cars, which would be, I would be one of them. So what's your take on all this, young Glenn, considering we just sat in a Tesla the other day?
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet.
No, that was fun. Talking about batteries.
Yes. We had the opportunity down at the Roseville Galleria, and you asked, what were Glenn and Polly doing at the Roseville Galleria?
not shopping for clothes, that's for damn sure.
Although we did have a wonderful demonstration of the pay at a dollar eye wrinkle cream.
What's that?
And when we did have that wonderful demonstration of the $800 eye wrinkle cream.
That was as funny as heck, because this guy was looking at us. He did not know whether to think two guys in a mall accepting treatments with facial rejuvenating cream were gay or not. I mean, I love you, Glenn, but I don't think it extends to that. But the guy was like, well, okay, I'm a salesman. I don't care. If your dog buys it, I don't care.
along with that, prior to that, we were at the Apple store, and we've been in a couple of days before and reserved our batteries, and then we went in on Sunday morning. Had to do it before the end of the year, so either came into the date, but it's just the Sunday after our last show.
Oh, right.
And dropped our phones off, and it took about an hour for them to replace the phones. Thankfully, my iPhone 6S had a small crack on the screen in the lower right-hand corner, and they were able to replace the battery without replacing the screen. And true to form, Apple's policy that they created last year of $29.95 for the battery, came to $31+ with tax.
What's it cost now?
I believe it's $69. I'll go online here. I am online here. I'll go check real quick and see.
Right, and typically the last current iPhone that Apple will tend to deal, they will deal with older stuff, but typically the last one that they consider a current product and they will support their operating system is the iPhone 6. And I have an iPhone 6S, which means it will accept the latest operating system, version 12. And if on your iPhone you go to Settings and Battery, it will show you what kind of capacity you've got. And if it starts to go below about 80%, time to think about replacing it. And that happens somewhere around 3 years out, which is exactly where it was with my three-year-old iPhone 6S. It had an 80% battery capacity, which is not bad. It's considered average. The trouble is, if you replace it yourself, you've got a third party to replace it, the batteries that are put in there can never possibly be as good as those furnished by Apple. So when you get these Apple authentic batteries, and they're not necessarily made by Apple, they're made by one of their approved manufacturers or OEMs, you can guarantee they'll last about as long as they can possibly last, which is typically 80% of the capacity after 3 years or 1,000 cycles. And that all comes up under Settings, under Battery. It will show you this stuff.
Right.
So you said your phone had decided, your newer phone, unrelated to this, had decided it was going to eat battery. Did you figure that one out?
I haven't figured it out. It started a week ago. This is on my refurbished iPhone 8.
Right. This has nothing to do with the battery replacement that came from Apple, right?
Correct. And last Wednesday, for some reason, within 6 hours, it went from 100% down to like 17 or 16%. With mine basically not using it. I mean, it was in my pocket. I made a couple of calls. I wasn't doing Google Maps, various things. And I was like, well, what on earth caused that to happen? So I thought maybe I turned on, like, you know, leave the screen on or you know, various things that can drain the battery. And I haven't done anything like that. So it was interesting that that started happening. And it is still happening. So I will be either trying to chat with or call Apple in the next day or two, and I'm pretty certain it's probably something that I've accidentally turned on.
What's worth looking at, Glenn, is under the settings, if you have the newer iOS, 11 may do it, but 12 definitely does it. By the way, when you go to settings now, there's a search window at the top because there are so many settings that you can, on a clear day, you can scroll forever through, I don't know, 50, 60 things. So at the top of your settings window is now a search box. If you really can't be bothered, and battery is not alphabetic in there. I don't know what order they thought they'd put it in, but it's not alphabetic. So you just type in the word battery. That will bring up the battery setting. And you can open it up, and it shows you what each app is using. There's very rigid control by the operating system over the power used by each of the apps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in what app is using the most battery on there.
Well, on that day, it said mail. And I, again, just having the mail app open is something that I have pretty constant on my iPad on my phone.
So it's not new. It's not a new thing that you've done.
Apparently not.
What happens with the mail program is that in normal circumstances, if you're not in battery saver mode, electronic mail is pushed, which is a bit of a misleading term. What actually happens is it periodically checks for electronic mail, so it'll pop up on the screen and go, "You've got mail!" Ha ha! Remember the movie? Mm-hmm. So, if you can decline that and switch into battery saver mode, which again comes up under the settings under battery, if you go into battery saver mode, it turns off what they call push notifications, so you won't necessarily get background pop-ups from the likes of Skype or FaceTime or email or whatnot. So, at the expense of some battery, if you leave those on, that might explain where the power went. Have you tried battery saver mode and see if that does any better?
I haven't. I will try that later today and leave the phone off the charger and see if that does help.
Yeah, you shouldn't need to. In other words, it's ridiculous to have a feature which you now can't use because it eats battery, but I'd just be curious to know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, that's that.
Yeah.
Nice chat about batteries.
Yes. And then we were getting around to Tesla. You and I were I think it was right next to the Apple store to sit down for several minutes in one of the new Tesla 3s, Model 3. And as equipped, it was $47,000 out the door with up to $10,000 in rebates, although about, as I understand it, the federal rebate might be going away right now.
Oh.
Error for 2019. Can't remember exactly what the fellow said about that. One of the rebates is going to be reduced or eliminated during this year. And it was a beautiful car. It had no dash. It had, what would you say that was? Probably a 17-inch
basically a 17-inch touchscreen display. That was about it.
Yeah.
That's it. And otherwise, the dash was naked apart from that thing.
Mm-hmm. Which made for great visibility, and it was, you know, at a very convenient location for both the driver and the passenger to see. I guess it's probably possible to tilt it one way or the other. We didn't look at that. But you open the fuel door by pushing the button on there, by pushing touching something on the screen. It did various things. And one of the funniest things is we popped the hood, and you were realistically expecting to open that and see a loader there.
Right. There's got to be something in there.
And it was a small storage compartment, probably about the size of a suitcase, maybe a little bit bigger. And then it was a hatchback, so it had – no, it didn't. It had a trunk.
Yep.
And I was comparing the trunk to my Prius, or even maybe to your Honda would be a better comparison because you have a four-door sedan. And I would say it was at least twice as deep as yours.
Yeah,
an extremely large trunk. As we know, all the batteries, I heard from a friend, I think 7,000 plus of the type of batteries to be used in laptops. I forget their specific name. You might know that.
They're basically cylindrical nickel metal hydride batteries, to the best of my knowledge. I don't think they're lithium polymer, but I wouldn't swear to it.
Okay.
And they're very low slung, only about, I don't know, 12 inches above the road. In a large rectangular slab under your feet. And the motors, I believe probably four of them, are in the hubs of the wheels and are not very big.
Right.
And this is what surprised me, because I opened up the hood and there's storage, and I opened up the trunk and there's more storage. And it's like, oh, that's right. The little motors are in the wheel hubs. They're not actually in the thing. Reminds me of a joke years ago from a Volkswagen Beetle rolling up into a full-service gas station. And the lady says to the guy in the forecourt there, oh, could you check the oil, which is what you used to do. So he opens up the hood. Well, there's nothing there, because as you might know, the Volkswagen Beetle has the engine in the back. She says, ah, damn, it must have, no engine in the front, it must have fallen out somewhere. Tell you what, we're in luck, there's a spare one in the back.
I haven't heard that one before, but that's cute. And but it was just, and the car comes complete with everything you need at home to charge it. I think the fast charger might have been a little bit more expensive. And they have over 10,000 charging stations along highways in the United States. I can't remember the exact number in California, but we asked the greatest distance you would have to drive between from one charger to the next. And he said that was 160 miles. Thinking about that, I'm trying to guess.
I think there wasn't the range more than that, Glenn. Wasn't it like 260?
260, 270 miles.
Right.
So they're at the moment, the furthest away you would be from getting your next charge was 160 miles. Therefore, having probably 110 miles still, you know, capacity to go. At least within the state of California, you wouldn't be stranded without electricity.
The logistics of it are pretty interesting, because electricity for automobiles is not common. We're talking strictly electric, not hybrid. So a lot of interesting questions got asked, amongst which were these. If you get to one of the Tesla charging stations, how long does it take to jam a charge back into the batteries? And the answer was, the fellow says, it takes between 30 and 40 minutes to go from, I think, from zero to full charge at a Tesla charging station, right?
Right.
Do I remember that correctly? Now, that uses an extremely high current, which is not available to you at home. If you go, when you buy one of these cards, you get a charge station for your home, and on conventional 15 amps, 110 volts, the charger that's available can only dump charge into the batteries in such a way that it will take, I think he said, 10 hours to charge it. Now, don't quote me exactly on this, but basically much longer overnight, which is fine. If you're somebody that doesn't drive around, you know, if you sleep at all, your car will charge while you're sleeping. If you have access to 240 volts, which most people do, same current and voltage used for dryers and so on, there's a higher current charge that I think delivers 30 amps. And that takes less time, I believe 5 or 6 hours. The problem now becomes that at that level of current usage and wattage, you may step out of your band of power consumption for your house into a more expensive band unless you check up on your utility to see how you're charged for electricity. It may not be a uniform charge. It may enter a peak value at some point.
Right.
In some cases, people can get what they call industrial power, which means that it's discounted for certain times of the day. I've got metering at home such that it is surcharged between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. and discounted outside those hours. So if you do such a thing, just try not to charge between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Right. And there are also tiers. So, yes. You know, if you use, I think people are familiar with that. And we might ask Martin Webb, because we asked the Tesla guy, well, within what's the cost for a full charge? And I can't remember if he finally gave us the total number of kilowatt hours that it would need. And then you could go home and look at your electric bill and see what you're paying for a kilowatt hour. So it was a really fun ability just to stop and see that. And thank you for that opportunity, Paulie. Plus, it was a gorgeous car. And one thing that I realized is any electric car is something that people like me will probably never be able to have. Living in either apartments or in as a roommate with somebody, and, for example, I don't park in the garage, it would be virtually impossible for me to have an electric source to recharge the car.
Right.
So, you know, there are some downsides to it. One of the other things also is that Hyundai and Kia, which apparently Hyundai owns Kia now over in South Korea, they have already in Asia and I believe Europe a car that has a 310-mile range, very similar to the Tesla as far as its equipment and accoutrement, running about $30,000. They have a hybrid electric version of the car, and I don't remember the name of it right now. Ford, it's been here in the United States for a while. And I think sometime during 2019, that full electric car is going to be available here. So quite a bit less expensive, but basically all the same technology and accessories.
I think the problem is that put me off ever getting a hybrid, Glenn, is to my mind, it's not the best of both worlds, electric and gasoline. It's the worst of both worlds because you now have twice the complexity. Electric cars are basically, they've been around for a long, 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 long time, but only recently has the ability to pack the power in with a high power-to-weight ratio in those modern technology batteries, has that become a reality. So the first public transits were basically electric devices, trams and streetcars and electric rail and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I asked the Tesla guy, like, well, what happens if you break down? He goes, well, they've thought of that too. They have a big electric charge wagon, and it's not like your gas car where the AAA will come flying out with a couple of gallons of gas. In this case, they come flying out with their charge wagon, jam a charge in there. Now, I'm assuming, but I didn't see this, that your ability to run out of power in a Tesla, you'd probably get plenty, plenty on-screen warnings, right? It'll say, you know, you're probably you got 20 miles left, buddy, and there's a charge station in 15 miles. So on their navigation system, it marks all the charge stations. There are a lot of them around the Bay Area. Most people, even myself, use their automobiles for trips. In, for example, if I go to San Francisco, I regularly clock 170 miles. That's within the range of this thing. Charge it up somewhere in the Bay Area for half an hour and you're ready for the return trip. I think he said it came out at 12 cents per mile, all told, wasn't it?
I believe so. I don't remember that specifically. But
I think I'm a long way from getting one of these cars, but I'm just fascinated with the fact that they are not yet common vehicles, although they will become that way, and the fact the infrastructure is not around. I guarantee you could go anywhere in a fairly, like in our area, you would never go more than 5 or 10 miles without seeing a gas station. And I do remember seeing a sign when I hitchhiked many years ago through Wyoming that said, next gas in 100 miles. Good Lord, you know? But with the electric thing, you have to be a little bit more careful. And it may seem inconvenient to people, and convenience is the bugbear of consumerism, which is, I don't care how expensive it is, as long as it's convenient. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I believe part of the technology is that the Tesla tells you how far away you are
right.
from the most, how far away you are from the next charge station. And driving back to Albuquerque a couple of times over the past couple of years, along Interstate 40, there's a 20, I think it's 40, there are many gas stations, and we stopped for gas. There were at least two or three. Tesla, I think they're big white and yellow. They look like a gas pump, but super thin and up against the building where you just pull into a parking space.
Right.
So even, you know, as long as 3 years ago, we were seeing those on the highways. So, and the Tesla, I think was it the first 6 months, offered you free charging at any of their charging stations nationwide.
Right.
And
I think what's interesting, Glenn, is to consider the convenience point of view, because with your gasoline car, you can go into a gasoline station, of which there are many. You don't have to plan it out. They're around.
Mm-hmm.
And be fueled and gone in a couple, 3 minutes. This thing, with the best will in the world, you have to sit around for half an hour. Well, I go, you know, there's conveniences and there's conveniences, because the fact is there is regular servicing on electric cars, but the intervals are much, much further between. Oil changing is not a reality. It doesn't, I mean, there isn't any oil to be changed.
Radiator oil. There's no motor in the car, so.
When you think of the complexity of an internal combustion engine, it's just nightmarish. The fact that we've had them for over 100 years doesn't make it any better. So you trade one thing for another. It's like, oh, poor you, half an hour to get a charge in your car. How long does it take you to get an oil change, and where do you have to go? Of course, you don't
right.
have to bother with an oil change, but there's a price to pay for that, too.
Well, and you're sitting in Tesla, so you can read and read or listen to a book, or hopefully, well, yeah, you can listen to books on tape or books, you know.
Oh, right.
Flash media as you're driving. So there are lots of other things to do, but again, you know, waiting that half an hour, that could be an inconvenience if you're in a hurry to get someplace.
It depends how you look at this stuff, because I call it the tyranny of convenience, where in order that you can jump out your door, jump in your car, stick the key in the lock and go whenever you feel like, there's an overhead cost to that which you don't really look at, which is, it's like having a baby. You need to be nice to it. You need to pay attention to the error codes that come up. You need to give it food and drink and pat its back and give it maintenance and take it to the doctor. A lot more than you do with an electric car, a lot more. But we take that for granted because we've always done
right.
that. But it's the tyranny of convenience, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Have we talked batteries to death? It was fun.
Yeah, we've got one more point on that. iPhone battery from the 5SE all the way up to the iPhone 8 Plus. Out of warranty, $49. So it was $20 less to have it replaced last year. When this first came up with Apple, they were offering free battery replacement on eligible phones. And I can't remember, I think maybe just the overwhelming number of people who came in had caused them to change it to the $29 or $29.99. Is my guess, but that happened maybe 2 or 3 months into 2018, or after this announcement they made, offering the sort of in-warranty battery replacement or a recall. It's closer to a recall.
It's a kind of vexing issue.
That's all I have on battery.
It's kind of vexing issue, because what it brought it up was an upgrade to the operating system. as the battery started to decline in age and was capable of delivering less current than it was, an algorithm would take over that would slow the phone down to make the most of the power that was left. So most people thought they were being slowed down to prejudice them against keeping that phone and making them want to buy a new one. Jury's still out, but Apple just did its thing. If they said no charge, that would be kind of admitting that something was wrong. And if they said a nominal charge, they'd go, okay, we'll work with you. So that regenerated some goodwill. And I must admit that they handled us pretty well in the last minute at the very last few days of that, the period of being able to do that thing, right, Glenn?
Yes.
So that opportunity's gone. Okay, enough said about all that. I dictate to my blog over here at zen.kvmr.org, and believe it or not, Zantac came up as Zantac.
Probably having a stomach problem.
That's right. So the answer is I'm going to use this new line. We are Zantac, the radio show that takes care of the fact that if you are sick of technology, take some Zantac.
If we're giving you heartburn.
I think I'm funny. I'm the funniest guy I know. So, yeah, it just blithely put it up on the screen. It's like, folks, just because the dictation says what, you know, puts up on the screen what it thought it heard. And by the way, consider this. If you're dictating text messages or dictating anywhere you've got your iPhone up and it keeps coming up with profanity, the fact is you must have used profanity and agreed to it in the past. So it puts that in there as a candidate for the words that you actually meant to say. So the other thing is it does look through your address book. So if you say somebody's name, quite often it will get the spelling right because it checks it against your contacts, which is a bit creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of Android or iPhone.
Correct. One other thing in the homework that I found very intriguing, and I'm going to be looking into this, is you state download a video straight from YouTube, etc.
Oh, yeah.
By going to YouTubenow.com. It's YOUTUB now.com. And there's a little bit about WebM. I'm not sure what that is, Paulie.
I want to check that out, Glenn, because I normally copy and paste it. Folks, I'll correct that. What it was a friend and client of mine said, I want to pull some videos off YouTube so that I'm not going to show them online. I'll be able to play them back off my computer. There used to be a plug-in to Firefox and a plug-in to Chrome. Mm-hmm. YouTube aren't exactly happy about people downloading their videos, so they do stunts to get around it. But I did find this website, and it does apparently get spelled YouTube now on here. I don't know why. I think it's YouTubeNow.com. You paste the link to the video you're interested in. This website will then connect up to that link and figure out where the actual video is and allow you to download it, typically as an MP4. Now, towards the end of that line, and I will correct that website. If it is YouTube now, I will correct it. Towards the end of that line, it says something about WebM. It turns out this has become or becoming the de facto standard for streaming media on the internet. It's a consortium of several companies, the likes of YouTube and Facebook and Microsoft and so on, that decided they wanted royalty-free encodec, or unencumbered, as they call it, unencumbered video streams, which can be playable with HTML5. So sometime in the not too far distant mists of time, the operating system makers and producers of things like web browsers, Firefox, Chrome, Netscape, I was going to say for the hell of it, decided that it ought to be a standard, that there should be some way in which you can reasonably show videos in your browser if the folks at the other end could just agree on what they were doing, right? If you have a proprietary stream, these companies need to pay royalties in order to decode it with their algorithm. So they decided to get together and set a standard based on things that were royalty-free that are out there already and basically modern enough to do an efficient job. You can look at the link on Wikipedia to WebM. So files that end in the extension .webm, if you get them for some reason, they will play back offline. It's intended for online streaming. They will play back offline with a player called VLC, which I don't recommend so much as suggest you get, rather than Windows Media Player. VLC is free and will play even your cat. If you put your cat into that program, it will play it back as a video. There isn't anything it won't play back as audio or video. It knows all the standards. It will play raw WebM downloaded videos back. So you go to YouTube now, I hope it is, put in the URL of your favorite, whatever it is, YouTube link, and it will then say, do you want to download this on your computer? It does work with other sites as well. I've also used it on Vimeo, I think it is. But don't take my word for it, okay?
Now, I believe you are correct with YouTube now, because I typed in YouTubeNow.com, and it took me to what appears to be a really old website and a place called BlueNote.com. And so that was using the E, which appears to be incorrect.
I think it's maybe deliberately incorrect, so it doesn't look like it's passing off as YouTube.
Exactly. And I was on here, and I tried to click download and wanted to open up music on my iPad. And I realized, oh, this is for desktops. But then I scrolled down a little further, and at the bottom they do have download music from YouTube on mobile devices, and they have one for the iPhone and one for Android.
Here's what I like about it, which is it's physically capable of extracting the audio track. It says, do you want to download the video itself, and it offers various resolutions, or would you like just like to pull the audio off it? So there's a lot of good music videos out there that you might want to extract the tracks from. It gets a bit into a gray area, because just because you view it on YouTube and just because it looks public doesn't mean it's yours to download, because then you will do things with it which their copyright holders, including themselves, may not appreciate. So what YouTube now does probably is every time YouTube changes the way in which it encodes its stream or does obfuscating URLs, they probably tinker and mess with it. It's why Video Downloader, the plugin for Firefox, stopped working. They got defeated after multiple updates by YouTube changing things. This site appears to keep up with whatever the heck's going on. So YouTube can't stop it. They just make it difficult, and this site seems to get around it.
Right, right. And yes, so I'm going to search for that in the thing in the Apple Store right now, and I'm going to go back to the homework page, and let's see whether there are a couple of other things there. You're talking about a new Linux version called Mint, which you showed me, and it's one of the most streamlined Linux versions that is very sharp looking, very Windows
right.
PC looking. And so it makes for what I would call a very easy transition.
It's new to me. It's been around a while. Oh, the other thing in that note that's interesting is if you've got an older Mac, as long as an Intel CPU, if you have an older Mac, if it's an Intel Core Duo or Intel Core 2 Duo, Intel Core Duo is 32-bit. Anything else after Intel Core 2 Duo is 64-bit. As long as there's enough memory, you can boot and run Windows on it. Why you would do that is arguable, but the fact is I'm telling you that you can. If Linux is not for you, or you're afraid, or you feel like you want to eat your own head or something because of the technology challenges, the question is where you get Windows from. That's a whole separate issue, and you can buy license keys for Windows 7 from Microsoft itself. You can install it without using a key, in which case it will nag the living daylights out of you forever. I just wanted to mention that for completeness sake. Don't give up on your old Mac as long as it is an Intel Mac, and ideally give it some more memory. Some of them won't go as high as 4 gigabytes, but you really do need that. And please do burn a copy of Linux Mint and try that. There is not a royalty or a license fee for Linux Mint. There is not an antivirus needed, but there is considerable tinkering required, to put it mildly. You know, we're heading for the top of the hour here, young Glenn.
We are.
And there was one last thing I wanted to say. Did you see at the bottom it said DVD Styler?
Yes.
I've been using DVD Styler on Linux. It will work in Windows, and it possibly works on the Mac. And I wanted our listeners to know that it's a really good example of the fact that you cannot have simplicity, comprehensiveness, and usability. You have to, in that triangle, like dating a woman, you can have beauty and intelligence and youth or whatever it is. Or if you buy a car, you can have performance and fuel economy and looks or whatever it is. There's a triangle there, and you have to move a point between the apexes of the triangle that says, is it simple, is it comprehensive, and is it usable? And this actually manages a fairly good compromise for burning playable DVD movies that you can put in your DVD player based on movie files that you got by downloading them from YouTube or doing whatever it is. I'm not suggesting you do this, because I'm probably violating Digital Millennium Copyright Acts to tell you this. But the fact is, a lot of us have got old bits of video and old camera stuff around. It might be kind of nice to burn a DVD movie. There are a lot of options, like, oh, I don't want the movie to start from the beginning. I want to start at 10 seconds in. Or the thumbnail on the screen, I don't want it to be within the first minute. I want to pull out a thumbnail 23 minutes through the second movie. That is comprehensiveness, and it means that there's a considerable amount of monkeying around. But guess what, folks? It's free. And if you don't like it, you just blow it away.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay. I want to remind you that this is KBMR-FM, Nevada City, KCPC, Camino Placerville. We want to offer our thanks out to all of you for being a part of KBMR, and special thanks out to Alex for faithfully all these years transcribing our notes, or actually creating our show notes for us at zen.kbmr.org, and you can find us and email us at zen@kbmr.org.
Thanks for being there with us, folks. So next up, there will be Now and Then with Dan McIntyre and 4 p.m. Music Magazine with Jenny Michael, a KVMR Evening News at 6. Onward into the fog we go in this fine rainy weather. Stay home, stay warm. Remember, technology loves you, even if you hate it.
Bye-bye, folks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, put it, jam, unlock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, back it, switch it, fade it, name it, rate it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, text, rename it, touch it, print it, play it, watch it, technologic. One more time.
Like the legend of the phoenix, yeah. All ends with beginnings. Oh, it keeps the planet spinning. The force from the beginning.
About this dream and you, I hope this dream comes true.